Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
Lusana Dlamini, thank you so much for accepting our invitation. Thank you so much for being here this morning. Thank you in advance for sharing your story. I'm looking forward to hearing everything that you've got to say. How are you today?
Thank you, first of all, Millicent, for having me. Thank you to your listeners for joining us. I'm doing well. I'm excited for this conversation. Coaching is precious to me. I love it and I'm passionate about it.
Absolutely. And I can't wait to hear why you are so into this particular career. I don't know if you guys call it a career. Would you call it a passion? Is it a career? What would you call coaching, Pila Pila?
For me, I think it is a calling. Because I was following a different trajectory in life and in corporate. And when God called me to ministry, one of the things that he highlighted to me that he will use me in to serve him was life coaching. Mm. So I really feel it's something that God dropped on my lap. For me, it's a calling.
Absolutely. I love that. I've heard many people over the past couple of years enter, you know, the space of coaching. Something that growing up, I think I only associated with sports. And perhaps you actually have the capacity to do coaching, you know, the listener. But maybe you have not yet uncovered or uncovered much about it and endeavored into the space. And as you hear, Lusanda says it's a calling. It's not something that just like, I'm going to study coaching and then you go into coaching. And let's start from the very beginning then. Did you have to study for it? Since you said it's a calling, this thing in a palatik wako and you just have to activate it.
I think there are programs, there are programs that help people that feel called to coaching or want to take it as a career. I think it depends what you feel into it. So there are coaching programs that will teach you about ethics of coaching, that will teach you about different types of coaching, that will teach you how to facilitate coaching. So like anything in life, there is academics backing it. But I think more than that for me, it's that you should feel this is what I want to do. This is my purpose. This, if you're a Christian, this is what God wants me to do. This is my calling, so that you do it from a place of strength, a place of passion, a place of enjoyment and fulfillment. Mm. Because especially I believe the market is very saturated at the moment with different types of coaching. Okay. So you can get despondent and discouraged if you don't love it. So for me, I think that's why I say it's a calling, and I look at it from a lens of I'm serving my fellow human beings. Therefore, whether it booms or whether it moves steadily or I'm still at a building stage, I just love it.
So it's not about the money?
For me, it's not. It's not. I do coach and I do earn income out of it. So let me be honest and vulnerable in that. But more than that, for me, it's I believe I'm called to serve people within the life coaching space and faith-based coaching space to help people, what I call mining the gold out of people. So with coaching, I believe it's helping people gain clarity, identify their goals, overcome obstacles, and put actionable steps through transition. You mentioned transition earlier.
Yes.
Through transition of life, whether they feel I'm at this stage of life and I would love to move to a next stage of life. So it's not merely giving advice, that's more mentorship, but coaching, it's asking those powerful questions that makes a person think, probably thoughts they already had, but now they have a safe space, a supportive space to unpack those thoughts. Mm. And coaching, I believe, it's also an accountability partner, someone that you have that will keep you accountable to say, okay, in our last session, in our last conversation, we said you're going to do A and B and C. How far are you? Have you taken any steps? Why not? And if not, we're not going to move to the next stage. Mm-hmm. We're going to remain here until you take those steps. So it's really to guide people in their personal growth and transformation aligned to their values and their purpose in life.
That sounds quite hectic because, I mean, have you met people who are procrastinators of notes and for whatever reasons they don't take the steps? They know what needs to be done, but they just don't do it. How frustrating is that?
I have. And I think people, they procrastinators mostly, if you go to the root cause of it, it's fear. Mm-hmm. It's people that are doubting and are hesitating to take those steps. It's not that they don't have the strengths of taking those steps, or it's not that they don't see I have to take those steps, but it's fear, and fear paralyzes you, Millicent.
Yeah, it does.
That's what fear does. Fear makes you be stuck in the mud, stuck in one place. Mm-hmm. And fear of failure, specifically when you are trying to grow yourself, you are, there's personal development, you know, there's personal growth that is supposed to happen. You know that I need to transition to this next level of my life. And but the fear that will dominate to those people, what if I fail? And that's what fear does. It keeps you in what I call what if family. And you just don't move. And people have fear also of starting over. Some transitions require that you start from scratch. And people are like, well, I'm 30, why should I start? Or I'm 40. But if you look at various people that have made it in life, that are impactful, that are influential, they started over at some point. They failed at some point and they had to start over. Let's look at the guy who started Colonel, that started Kentucky Fried Chicken. Mm-hmm. He started over at 60. So fear would make you not start over. It will say, remain here, be in a state of paralysis, and be stuck in the mud. And I think when I speak to my clients and I say, don't allow yourself to be in a state of paralysis. Why would you invite a wheelchair in your life and sit in a wheelchair, yet you are mobile? So that mobility is, yet you have the brain, the intellect to think. You have, for Christians, because my coaching is faith-based, you have the word. You have the promise of God. You have God himself. Why would you allow it? And God is, from the beginning till the end, commands us, do not fear.
That's true.
So I think people, it's not that they can't. It's just the spirit of fear.
Oh, the spirit of fear. And God said he did not give us that spirit, but he gave that as that of power and of a sound mind. That is really powerful. You mentioned that your coaching is faith-based. What are the different types of coaching, and is there a difference then between faith-based coaching and non-faith-based coaching? What would those look like?
There are different types of coaching. I'll touch on a few. Life coaching, which I also do, helps really individuals navigate personal goals, different seasons, we can name it transitions, overall well-being. Faith-based integrates then faith and spiritual principles in your personal development and decision-making. So a faith-based person, I will say, what does the Bible say on this?
Okay.
Have you spoken to God about this? You can't make that decision because your faith principles, according to the Bible, do not allow that. But also an encouragement, like things like fear in a faith-based coaching, when someone is saying, but Sis Lusanda or Coach Lusanda or Mom Lusanda, I'm scared. And I'm going to say, what does God say about fear? Let's look at scriptures that speak into fear. Then you get then the different coaching. You get a career coach. So someone in HR or who's done HR, human resources, can be a career coach because they have the background and the know-how of human resources. And that is to support your career development, job transitions, and personal growth. Then you get people like business coaching that support and help entrepreneurs and business owners sustain and grow and strengthen their business. Mm. Then let's look at relationship coaching. That could be someone that help you with interpersonal relationships and personal relationships, improving them. How do you manage them? How do you grow in relationship with people? How do you separate work-based relationship and personal relationship? How do you have a relationship with yourself? Mm. And let's say performance coaching, maybe within your team, within the station, and you want to grow the station and you want the station to perform well. How do you want to maximize your performance in specific areas in the workplace within your station? How do you take the station to the next level that it's effective, that it reaches people that maybe don't know Christ? You mentioned sports as well. Performance coach would be a sports person like Bafana Bafana now. They have a performance coach, I presume. Mm-hmm. And they're probably looking at what did you do wrong at Mexico? How do we then move around?
Yo, you are opening Islanda. You are opening it.
Yes, I cried. But hey, that let's wound. Get over it. And how do we do better? And mm-hmm. How your performance was not right. Why? Was it the first game? So now you've settled, you know the climate, you know that type of thing. So yeah. There's a lot. Health and wellness, executive and leadership coaching. So there's a lot of types of coaching. The coaching I do, which is life coaching and faith-based, is quite broad. Okay. Because we look at the, I'm going to say the seven, areas of the wheel of life. Oh. And you almost have an understanding of all those, but there's a niche that you feel most called to. Mm. And for me, it's or drawn. That's the better word. Thank you, Millicent. And for me, that's purpose and faith and life in general and relationships, especially marriage, because I'm a pastor's wife. So I also do marriage coaching, relationship coaching with my husband.
I love that. And purpose is a big one because so many of us, we don't know our purpose. And I think a lot of people go through life having not figured out what actually was my purpose. You know, did I actually live in the purpose that God had put for me before I was born? Did I do that? And that's why we are probably so frustrated about life, wrong careers, just very frustrated because We've allowed life to be a monolith. We do what everyone else has been doing for centuries because apparently that's the way a human being must go about life. But you find yourself so frustrated, miserable, waking up is hard. Going to, you hate that place. You hate the people you want. You just hate everything about Impilo Yakho because you're not living in your purpose. The other thing that I want to weigh in on is when you spoke earlier on about, okay, so you do faith-based coaching and you said that you'll ask a question, for example, that, and you'll go through this person's faith and say, but your faith does not allow you to perhaps make this particular decision. Why is that important, the restraints because of values? Why is that actually important? Why can't a person just go against that? Are they right?
You know what? When we look at faith-based coaching, and specifically for me, because faith is broad in South Africa, especially for me, Christian coaching, we say Jesus saved us. He's our savior, right? So we get that curtain broken or torn, rather, and we have the access to God the Father. Mm-hmm. Then we moved on. We move on and say Jesus is our Savior and Lord. And if you think about it, even in the natural, a person who's a Lord or a King They rule and reign in that kingdom. They direct that kingdom. They direct decisions and choices, culture, values, morals that is made in that kingdom. Now, if you, Millicent, say, Sis Lusanda, please coach me in finding my purpose. Mm-hmm. I'm naturally intelligent and my family believe I should be a doctor, but really I feel in God that I should be a communicator.
Okay.
And God can use different avenues. It could be radio, it could be speaking, it could be podcast, and so forth. So my coaching then would bring, okay, let's look at the Bible. What does the Bible say about coaching? I mean, about purpose.
Okay.
I will just touch on one scripture, Ephesians 2 verse 10. It says we are God's masterpiece. Some version says we are God's workmanship.
Yes.
And I'm paraphrasing, that he's put aside good works for us to do. So, and then we look at Psalm 139 says, God knew us before we were knitted in our mother's womb. So who has authority and lordship over what you do and
God,
your career?
God,
then
God.
We look at Acts 17 verse 26 that talks about that we live in within the parameters geographically and time wise, the parameters of God. He knows our parameters, our time frames, and our geographical locations. He puts us there. Then we say, okay, Millicent, your family says you're clever, go study medicine in the UK, but have you consulted God? Because as a Christian, the Bible tells you in Acts 17:26 that he says he knows where you stay, how long will you live, within which boundaries.
Okay.
And he says he has set aside good works for you to do, for those that he's called according to his purpose and he loves. And then he says again in the Bible that he knitted, he knew us before he knitted us in our mother's womb, which means he chose which womb to place you in. So I ask you those questions, and then you have to let them marinate, sit at that space, seek the Holy Spirit for wisdom and help. He's your helper. Then you find the answer, which I'm not going to give you, although my coaching is more, it does cross on mentorship and discipleship, because I'm a pastor.
Okay.
So you would give advice in certain instances.
Mm-hmm.
Then maybe I say, how would you think you should approach your parents in this? So we go through that and unpack it, because in it, we still honor them. Even if we say, Mom and Dad, I don't want to be a doctor, but there's ways of answering that. So that's how faith-based and coaching is integrated. You ask those questions, and then I keep you accountable as well. What have you put in place now to help you navigate where you feel your purpose is, where you feel God is calling you? Are you going to study media? Are you going to apply and maybe volunteer at SID Media while you're studying, so that you are trained and equipped on the job at the same time?
Okay.
So can you see how it works? It's almost integrated.
Yeah. It's beautiful. I love it. Listen, I can speak to Sis Lusanda for days, Kesana. Me, I can. I know. I can put it in my spirit. I want you to also bring you into the conversation. So our WhatsApp number, whatever questions you have, maybe you want to add your comment, +27734703520. It is a WhatsApp number. So feel free to send through a text message to us on that, +27734703520. I think I am really drawn into your work, and I see your passion. It oozes. It's so natural to you to do this work, and I think it's very meaningful as well. I think a lot of times when I reflect, and in some conversations, you wish that someone was holding your hand throughout life all the time, all the time. It's very difficult to cut the umbilical cord from any sort of dependence that you've had throughout the years from parents, teachers, and lecturers. And it's not easy to go through life making decisions alone. And I think coaching sounds like, and you know, I like how yours is actually also symbiotically placed with mentorship, because yeah, that gives confidence to a, particularly a young person who struggles with decision making and mm-hmm. the fear of, am I doing that which is right? Is this going to be the correct mm-hmm. path for me? You know, how do I avoid regrets? Yes, they might be there, mm-hmm. but just to minimize them, so that mm-hmm. in the event that maybe you took the wrong road, it's not going to take 20 years to recover. Maybe it will take two, three, and you'll be okay again. And I love that. So the importance of having a coach for young people, I'm assuming mostly young people, can be elderly people needed as well, but young people generally, how important is that, particularly in our vicinity, South Africa? Maybe you want to look at other parts of Africa as well. I don't know.
You know what, Millicent? I felt the same way you're saying now, that you wish you had someone yeah. your whole life. And that's why coaching is important. The coach is not there 24/7, but the coach helps you reflect. The coach you can call in for a season. For example, we spoke about transitioning. A season that you need them for that transition, and then you continue your journey. And for me, a young person, you know what, we as a young people, well, I'm not young, I'm 51. When I was younger,
51.
You,
I'm 51. God is good, God is good. Black don't crack, God is good.
Thank you, Millicent. When I look at myself, the decisions I made in maybe mid-20s to mid-30s, mm-hmm. at times I wish I had someone to bounce things off. I wish I had someone to keep me accountable. I wish I had someone to ask me questions that would actually make me think. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where faith-based coaching is needed, because the older women, the seasoned women, the matured women is instructed or commanded oh. by God to say, older women coach
Amen.
Younger women. So we should have that relationship with younger generation of where they can come to us as older women and bounce things off, ask questions. We keep them accountable and ask them questions that will make them think. Hmm. And obviously not make ourselves the answer. Point them to Jesus, to be honest.
Amen.
If you are a faith-based coach, point them to Jesus, and Jesus is the Word. John is clear. The word became flesh. So point them back, teach them and equip them those muscles as well to listen to the Holy Spirit, to unpack the word, to trust God to help them to understand the word and direct them Amen. In life.
Amen.
So that's the beauty of coaching. But the beauty of mentorship, which in church we call discipleship as well, is you are able to say, I'm stuck. Have you been in the season? How did you practically walk it out? So now my coach or my mentor in the church is someone who's been in ministry for 40 plus years, mm. is someone who's been married for 40 plus years, is someone who has dealt with, for example, perimenopause. I'm at that stage, and will help me understand the changes that I'm feeling biologically, the changes that I'm feeling mentally, and say, this is how you navigate it practically.
Sure.
It's not there in the Bible, perimenopause, but Titus 2:3-5 is there. Older women teach younger women. Mm. So for me, I'm saying that coaching and mentorship is not a once-off thing. It's not, I don't need it. It's needed at every stage and season of life.
Amen.
It's a continuous thing. Mm. And I love what we have now, which is virtual coaching. We can reach outside of our city, reach outside of our continent, reach outside of our country, and we can draw from each other. We can sit at the feet of each other and learn from each other and exchange knowledge and information within each other. So God really didn't create such careers for the fun of it, because he knew that at this stage of life, there will be digital stuff, there'll be online stuff, that you can't say that there was no help for you.
Someone says, if this is like finding a psychologist who becomes your friend and you go through life together, but hopefully they've been a bit more mature head in life as opposed to finding an age mate.
Yeah. Mm. And that's why most psychologists actually end up in coaching as well. And you will find them, especially with health and physical coaching. Maybe some of them that I know anyway focus on mental health and mental wellness.
Can you share a little bit about your story? I appreciate that, because at the beginning, and I never asked you to touch on this, you said that you were in corporate. So what was your journey of then transitioning and seeing what I can't breathe, it's claustrophobic in here, and moving out into the coaching space?
I wish it was a journey that I decided on. My journey, I studied business management, then went to Wits Business School, studied MAP, which is Management Advanced Program, post graduate, and I thought I'm going the MBA route. My heart and my passion was marketing. I have a client relationship management background and expertise in marketing. I have business development, so I close deals. The next step for me was to be wanting to move into brand management. That was the be it and all of it. And I came to know Christ in 2006. I was in such a broken place. But then through my relationship with Christ, then Christ started opening my eyes to what he created me for. Ephesians 2 verse 10, which we touched on. Yeah. And I started love working with empowerment and equipping and training women to find their purpose in life. And then I got married in 2011, and the plan was never to marry a pastor, I'm going to be honest. But God's part of my works was to marry a pastor. And I got married to a pastor, and through that, and he is ministry through and through. He didn't move me out of corporate, but God started changing my heart as we led a church in Alexandra Township. God started, you know, ministering into my heart, changing my heart, and putting the love for women especially in my heart to say, Lusanda, the brokenness that you experienced when you were 18 from being a teenage mom up until now, it was just not in vain. And God gave me Isaiah 42, I think it's from verse 12, where he says, I've called you to get people out, and I'm paraphrasing, guys, you need to find it, people out of the dungeon, out of prisons, to free them. And God said, I've called you to minister to my people vulnerably, so that people can be released, not just from physical prison like Esan City, released from prison, whether it's fear, whether I will never amount to anything, or whether do I even have a purpose, or who am I, my identity, or can I grow, or can I be restored? So that, for me, I was like, at the same time, Lord, I don't understand this. And God then revealed storytelling, revealed coaching, mentorship to me. And then God helped me to structure it in a way that he wants me to structure it. and first helped me launch a ministry called Women of Reverence that I've called my daughter to holiness. I've called them to fear me. And this is how you're going to minister. And then the Lord drove or directed me to life and purpose coaching, which is faith-based.
Wow.
So corporate, moving 2015 out of corporate, it was more a nudge and a direction of God, which was that lordship we touched on.
Mm-hmm.
It was not like, I'm tired of corporate, I'm this. It was an obedience.
Wow. Wow.
And God gave me the statement, Lusanda, your yes to me
mm-hmm.
is a breakthrough for someone else.
Mm.
And that helped me, Millicent, to know that this for me is serving.
Amen.
It's not just a career. It's that yes to God. It's a breakthrough for someone else. So it can't be driven by me wanting to be popular, wanting to be the best coach. It's me listening and saying, okay, Lord, this is what you want me to focus on. Serve these people, pray for them, trust for you to bring them to a place of their fullness, and then coach in that manner.
Amen. Amen. What a beautiful testimony. And I think what for me stands out is the fact that your heart was changed and you felt there was a love that God had put in you for something that maybe before you were maybe nonchalant about. It was not a big deal. And now women-centeredness was coming. We see, no, you need to help women with their mindset, with what, you know, the struggles that they are going through. And that then became natural, the natural order of things. I think that's a beautiful way of seeing how God works in our lives. Because sometimes we're like, I don't hear God speaking to me. How do I hear God's voice? And that's definitely one of the ways that you were able to hear God's voice. Is coaching something that anyone, everyone can do, or in a liberty babon?
No, I think people can do it. To be honest, I think everyone has a strength and a calling, like we found a purpose.
Mm.
And people that are interested can do it through programs that are available. Like anything, just make sure that they are legit. And that people can trust your coaching.
Mm-hmm.
For those that love to explore in it, they must identify which part of coaching they would like to do. It must be something that they're passionate about. So, for example, a personal trainer will probably be passionate about physical coaching, physical wellness, mm-hmm. and maybe mental wellness, because there's mindsets that needs to be shifted. And make sure you also sit under a coach that is experienced than you. Make sure that you serve within their coaching, maybe just to gain experience and see how it's done professionally.
Mm-hmm.
And what are the ethics, the values, the morals, because it's quite a confidential. That's why psychologists love doing it. It's quite a confidential industry. And so you can, and love to contribute in people's lives and growth and personal development of people,
yeah.
and see change in people.
Mm.
So everyone can do it. It can be a career, but also I believe be convicted, like you convicted to be a broadcaster, a presenter. Be convicted that it's something that you want to do. And those that believe in Jesus, it's something that you called to do.
And it's not just like it's a trend.
Yes.
To it, because everyone is doing it, and I can make a name for myself. I like that you say that as well. I hope that you are encouraged, as you've heard Usis Lusanda sharing her story about coaching and her journey. And if that is something that you perhaps might be interested in, also one day going into, but experience is the best teacher. Something someone cannot take away from you is definitely that experience. How do people get access to you, Sis Lusa? I'm sure people are really drawn to the way you speak. I could listen to you all day.
I'm available on social media. It's Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook at Lusanda Dlamini, and my Dlamini has an H. I know most popular Dlaminis don't. So it's at Lusanda, DHLAMINI. across all platforms. And they can WhatsApp me if they're interested, 079-885-9406, if they're interested in my coaching and mentorship programs.
All right.
I'm also on, I have a website, www.lusandadlamini.com, and they can access my services there as well.
Yep, we're definitely going to be getting ready to follow her at Lusanda Dlamini, and you will find her on all the social media platforms, all of them?
Yes, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok.
Facebook, all and the major ones.
I'm still learning Threads.
Oh, wow.
You're ahead of me.
Trust me. I sometimes wish I was born in the 1860s because, me and technology, we're not really friends like that. So I'm often frustrated. Yeah. But really appreciate you coming onto the platform, Amuruti. It was so lovely speaking with you and hearing your wisdom. And may God bless the work that you do. I am sure that even from this platform, there are many who are going to want more of you. And may God just give you a heart full so that you can continue to share as your cup overflows. May God bless you abundantly. Thank you so much for this morning.
Thank you so much, Millicent, for inviting me. Thank you to Seed Media as a whole. May God bless the station, bless the work of your hands. We love Seed Media.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.